Well, as usual, because I was band treasurer, which was a duty over and above the normal duties appointed to a senior NCO, I always came into work early. I think I remember rightly, I actually came into work around about 7:15 that morning, and everything was open in the block because Dean Pavey, Corporal Dean Pavey, who was the bassoon players, he ran the coffee boat. Now, coffee boat cafe, which internal situation which people used to run off their own bat. Coffee, tea, they made rolls, sold them at ridiculously low prices, but with a profit. He was obviously in preparing for that day. I knew that 19 members of the band had been out the night before in the officers' mess at a mess dinner, so there wouldn't be that many in, probably 30, maybe 40 people, because a staff band is a staff band, 60 to 65 players. So I went into the office, into my office, got the books ready because I was getting ready to pay out some money to the guys for what we call Category 4 engagements, which are private engagements outside of time as such, but which sanctioned by the Ministry of Defence. Got the books ready, came out the office, met Jay O'Neill in the foyer, went in, got a cup of coffee, came out, was talking to Jay O'Neill. I can't remember what I said. I said something to him. I had to go back in the office and do something. I turned my back and I just stepped through one door because I had to go through the drum major's office to get to my office. And I still don't know what happened. Well, I know what happened now, but at the time, I thought an actual light fitting had actually come down and hit me on the head, and I'd got a shock from the, from the power cables. Didn't hear any bang or anything. That's what I thought. And I don't know how long it was, but I know I woke up next to the filing cabinets, dark, sort of choking, spitting up dust. God knows what else, as I know now, was an explosion. Obviously, there was a lot of dust and everything else. And coughing up, trying to breathe properly. Turned around, saw a hand sticking out of the rubble, clutching. Heard a sort of a voice saying, "Help," And don't know what kicked in, just went and just got to try and dig him out.
You weren't actually buried at this stage.
What happened, as I'd found out, the force of the explosion, because I hadn't, as I found out later, I had a perfect imprint of a door on my back. What had happened, I'd been blown against the filing cabinets, the roof came in, which hit me on the head and caused the injuries to my head, but it actually hit the top of the cabinets and then fell diagonally down, and the space between the cabinets and the edge of the wall, that's where I was. So instead of having sort of, I don't know how many tons of roof, ferroconcrete roof on me, I was protected by the way it fell. And it's only the way I came out, and I saw, in fact, I found out it was Mick Cole, who was a corporal oboe player, who had been my best man
So
2 years
you were
earlier.
able to crawl out
Yeah.
into
I crawled backwards out of where I was,
Which found you where?
Virtually in the foyer area of the front of the building, but which we found out later, there were conduits underneath that had blown in and everything had collapsed into them. But looking back, I saw this hand sticking out that was moving and just went to try and help digging him out. And I do remember the supply officer. I can't remember his name. He was a captain at the time, and he was one of the first ones on the scene. Unfortunately, he's dead now. He died some years ago of cancer. But he stood on top of this concrete and he said, "Get out of the way, there may be a secondary explosion." And I remember I told him to go and find somebody else because I needed to get this guy out. And that's all. I just
So you
stayed
were able
digging.
to crawl back and then stand up.
I didn't say stand up.
No,
I crawled out and I started removing rubble.
Were you in considerable pain at that stage? I mean,
No, didn't feel a thing.
You felt you'd escaped.
Yeah, I didn't even know what had happened.
But latterly, you afterwards.
It was, I helped to get the guy out. Right, I originally started to get the guy out and pan out, very badly injured, but we got him out. He's still alive today, thank God. Got him out, helped to get him over to the 50 yards away to the green. There were already people there starting. I remember I had my hand over his kidneys because he had a big hole in his back, trying to keep something in. But I just sat there, and two ambulance guys came over, and I said, they looked at the guy, and they said, his wrists are gone or whatever. And I said, besides that, you need to look at this quick. And I just sat back, because I knew I don't know what the extent my injuries were, but I knew I had blood coming down because it was all trickling in my eyes. Next thing I knew, I just got in the car and was.
How long do you think you were probably at the bomb site?
I don't know. I do remember seeing it was probably a couple of hours.
Right.
Because I remember seeing them bringing out one guy who I know now as Chris Nolan, because he was in a hell of a mess, and every time he took a breath there was smoke coming out of his mouth and his nostrils and everything else. But I remember saying, you know, that's Chris. Mm. And then next thing I said, they shoved me in a blanket and said, go, get away, put me in a van.
Where were you taken?
Taken to Deal.
The local Deal
right. hospital, because I was walking. You
right,
know.
Walking with
well,
you.
Well, limping.
Yes.
And,
yeah. I've actually interviewed Maureen Bain, who yeah. was the matron. She was obviously very proud of what the hospital did for the walking wounded and a lot of the young lads who were yeah. obviously very shaken.
Yeah.
Because I understand the junior band were playing on the had been playing already.
The junior band was rehearsing. They were practicing as such, which is a normal routine. Had been since I was a junior, sort of 19 years earlier on the parade ground, early morning rehearsals as parade band, learning all the drill movements, all the different things that we have to do as a Royal Marine Band, which makes the Royal Marine Band famous because the drill movements are so slick and, you know.
Were you aware in that sort of first 10, 15 minutes afterwards that there were obviously a lot of casualties?
No.
You weren't?
No.
Is it because your mind had become totally focused on...
Don't know. Tell you the truth, I don't know, because I've been to Northern Ireland a couple of times before, not for any great length of time, but I've been there, I'd seen things, but no, it was just sort of... All I saw, I remember that I thought there'd been something wrong with the electrics and I'd got electric shocks. I couldn't hear anything.
Right.
That was the other thing. I couldn't hear anything. I looked at people and their mouths were moving and I couldn't... You know,
but you must have seen the building had collapsed all around you.
Saw a lot of dust and a lot of rubble, saw a hand and tried to get that out. But the brain didn't work to say, you know...
You mentioned ambulance men. Were you aware of the fire service being there as well?
No.
Or not?
No. It was only later in the hospital, lying in bed, that a couple of the guys from the barracks, a couple of senior NCOs came in and said, do you know what's happened? And we sort of went, no, because I was in one bed. Jay O'Neill was opposite me. Bob Graham was next to Jay. And we didn't know. And they put the television on then and said, look, at that point, you know, 10 dead.
You reckon your bit of fortune was that moving to go to the treasurer's office at the moment you did?
Turning my back, because from where I was in direct line to where the estimated point of where the bomb was under that four-seater settee, which is where they said, 12, maybe 15 feet.
Yeah.
At the most.
And a lot of the people who presumably probably were in there minutes
well, yeah,
before.
Because... As I understand now, there were three people already sat on that settee. It was a four-seater settee, and the pressure switch, as we've been told now, supposedly, was under that one seat, and the guy just went up and sat on it.